We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good afternoon. Welcome all to the, once again, the County Executives Conference Room in our semi-press room. I'm joined here today by our Commissioner of the Department of Health, Dr. Gail Burstein, as we give an update on COVID-19, coronavirus, and the preparations that have been undertaken so far in our region, as well as the issues that we potentially may deal with in the future. I think we all are aware of the comments that were issued by the Center for Disease Control 2 days ago, the CDC, basically stating that it's not a question of if there will be a coronavirus cases in the United States, it's a question of when. And so we've been working behind the scenes to address this even before that statement was made. We wanted to let the public know about issues that we've dealt with so far, as well as what our preparations are going for the forward and what people should be doing themselves just to protect themselves from illnesses. I will affirm, as we've said before, there are no coronavirus COVID-19 cases in Erie County that we are aware of, that we've had or are currently aware of. There was, unfortunately, in the last week, on social media, some individuals who were trying to spread a message that we were hiding the truth from the public, but that is not the truth. If a case was, a real case was to be found in our region, while we could not identify the individual due to HIPAA issues, we would certainly let the public know that a case was in our region. There has been no case. I don't want the public to think there is a case that we're hiding. Our goal is to protect the public's health, not to hide the truth from the public. And that is what I think we need to express. So if you are seeing or reading things on social media that says that there are cases here, it is a lie. And we want people to remember, just because you saw something on social media doesn't make it true. As I said, our goal is to protect the public's health, not to lie to the public. And so we wanted to express that fact. I myself, earlier today, spoke to each of the CEOs from our major hospital units, ECMC, Tom Cartrocci, Jody LeMayo at Kaleida Health, as well as Mark Sullivan from Catholic Health. We are all going to be on the same page, the hospital units, with our Department of Health on how to respond if by chance a COVID-19 case came into a hospital. And I'll let the doc talk a little bit more about our future plans, but also what we expect from the public. But I want the public to understand that we are taking this seriously, just like we take any potential public health risk seriously. This is, of course, a disease and an illness that we are seeing continually in the news. We don't have any case of it here. We don't have any deaths, of course, here. We are addressing this just like we address any other public health issue, say the flu, which of course we have had thousands of flu cases in Erie County and unfortunately some deaths during the season. But we want people to understand that just because we haven't had a death doesn't mean that we are waiting for the first case to occur before we actually take any action. We've already taken action and we'll continue just like we do with any potential public health risk. So while there's a lot of uncertainty out in the public, and people are wondering what they should be doing, we want them to know that we are acting appropriately. We are doing what we need to do to protect the public's health. And with that, I will turn it over to our health commissioner, Dr. Gail Burstein, to talk a little bit more about the actions that we've already taken, but more importantly also, what people can take to ensure that they're protecting themselves as well as their family members from potential risks. Doc?
Thank you. Thank you.
For you, if you
oh,
want
wow.
It.
I like it. My own stool. good afternoon. We know that this is a rapidly changing situation, and I just want to assure everybody that we are working within the health department and our emergency preparedness folks and our epi and surveillance folks, and also very closely with our community partners, including the hospitals and the schools and other partners to get prepared. Because as Mark said, we currently do not have any COVID-19 cases in New York State or in Erie County. However, based on CDC's report and based on everything we know about what we expect with epidemics, we expect that eventually we will have a first case here and many subsequent cases. And so we're using that at this time period where we know that it's coming to be very thoughtful and to prepare. And we're working very hard with our partners on planning in the case when coronavirus does hit our community. So the challenge with this COVID-19 virus is that currently there is no vaccine to prevent infection, and there is no pharmaceutical, there's no antiviral to treat the infection. So what we need to concentrate on is what we call these non-pharmaceutical interventions. So there are NPIs for short. So you can think of them in three categories. So there's personal, what can I do? Community-wide, what can we do in the community, change systems to make ourselves healthier and protect ourselves? And then environmental, again, what can we do to make the environment safer for everybody? So right now on the personal NPI level, where, again, we have no known cases, we can do the same types of activities that we would do to protect ourselves from influenza, where we know we have a lot of influenza here in the community still. So that's basically washing your hands and good 20 to 30 seconds soap and water, good scrub, then wipe off with a paper towel or some type of towel if you have access in it. You want to manually try to remove that virus or whatever bacteria are on your hands. You want to make sure that if you are sick and you cough or sneeze, that you cover your mouth either with your arm or with a tissue, and then wash your hands to protect other people. Social distancing is very important. So that means people who are sick staying away from people who are well. So that means if you see somebody who looks sick, that means they are sick, so stay away from them. And if you're sick or your kids are sick, don't go out, don't go to work and infect all your colleagues, and don't send your kids to school because then they will infect their classmates. So those are all things that we can do right now with in terms of helping ourselves. And just in terms of environmental changes, clean it up. Wash it up. So you want to wash off all surfaces where people contact a lot. So it'd be like tabletops, countertops. Make sure you don't share utensils or straws or cups or food. Toys, make sure to be wiped down. And that's outside in schools, daycares, workplaces, and in your own home, because you may have somebody in your household who is sick, where just one person, where others are well, and you want to make sure that infection is not transmitted to others. So what do we do? So what kind of things are we planning for in case we do see community transmission of the COVID-19 in our area? So what I mean by community transmission is that there are people who are identified with the COVID-19 infection, and they have no known source of infection. So they didn't travel or they don't have any known close contacts. So that means that there's this virus is circulating in the community, and we don't really know where it's coming from, but it's around. So in that case, we have to really take extra measures. So just in terms of the personal non-pharmaceutical interventions, it would be pretty much the same thing. And we might want to think harder about social distancing. Just in terms of the community, we might want to think of how we can prevent opportunities for large crowds to congregate and somebody in the crowd having the infection and transmitting it to others. So that's why we need to work with our schools. So are they thinking about opportunities for, making the classroom size or the learning group size smaller so there aren't these large groups of students where, you know, somebody in the group would infect a larger amount of students? Or do we have to go to, like, ultimately what we haven't really done in the past is, you know, mass closures of schools? But, you know, we don't know how long that the schools would be closed for. It's not like a snow day like today. It's, you know, it could be a pandemic that could last for a while. So we have to think that kids still need education. So think about, are schools prepared to offer, like, e-learning, virtual classrooms where kids could go and on their laptop at home, or maybe at another place if they don't have internet access or computer, and get that education online without everybody going into the school. And then we have to think about businesses. So instead of in-person meetings, maybe having virtual meetings, and also allowing for telecommuting, letting people who are able to do their job at home do that job at home. And that's because they may be well, however they might have a known exposure and they have to be quarantined for 14 days, but they can still do their work, or their kids' schools are closed so they have to be home, someone has to mind the fort, and they could still do their work. And so we have to, work must go on, and so we have to think about opportunities for telecommuting, and then also working with our as Mark said, with our healthcare providers, and thinking about kind of some maybe virtual healthcare that people didn't have to come in so much to the emergency department or the hospital. And then also environmental, keeping it clean, every place, washing down, including in your own home. Just in terms of testing, so there is, testing available from CDC and the New York State Health Department, and in Albany, the Wadsworth Public Health Lab and the New York City Public Health Lab are going to be getting the revised reagents for the COVID-19 test kit from CDC, and hopefully be able to start doing the test wider spread soon. And hopefully when the reagents become in better supply, we will be next in line to get our test in Erie County. Commercial labs are also developing tests, so tests will be more available. And then just want to emphasize something that Mark said about false rumors. So this is a time where there is a lot of a big void in information that we have. And there are a lot of opportunities in those instances when people are worried and they don't have all the information for people to jump up and spread these false rumors that will stress people out and maybe even cause them to do the wrong thing and put themselves at harm. So just want to emphasize that in Erie County Health Department, we are all, from our track record, we are always going to disclose if we have a case, if we think that the public needs to know something, if we think we need to do something, we are on it and telling you like we are today. Also, for good information, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the New York State Health Department, and our websites are good information. And if you have personal questions about your health, please ask your health care provider. They have a lot of great information. So thanks.
Thank you, Doc. As the doc noted, we actually, our website on the Erie County Department of Health has a COVID-19 coronavirus page, which includes facts for people to check up on if you want to learn more about the actual facts associated with it, as well as a rumor page. And what we share, asking people to review when they see something that's posted by an individual on social media. Just because a family member posted or someone you know doesn't make it true. I think we know about that in so many different ways in our country today. But it really scares people when they read about things such as this with the virus and public health that has killed people in other parts of the world. If they see it on a friend's page, they think, wow, it must be true. Why would they have posted it? But we want people to know the truth and to actually do a little investigation. And if you do have questions, you can go to our Erie County Department of Health webpage, and you will find a page that is dedicated to provide you the facts associated with COVID-19. And what you can do, as the doc noted, including using a lot of these hand sanitizers and the like, to ensure that you and your family are protected. With that, open it up to any questions.
As you mentioned, there's no coronavirus cases here in New York State. Flu has been an issue, though. Do you have statistics that you can provide on the current flu? How many people have gotten it, and how many deaths that there have been in Erie County?
Well, we just in terms of surveillance numbers, we have that information on our website, and Peter Dan can send that to you after this. However, I just want to help you put in context. Those numbers are numbers that are reported to us by clinical laboratories. And so it's not the total number. It's just we use those data to follow trends. So we know that there are a lot of people who have the flu that are, you know, undiagnosed. They don't even realize they have the flu, or they don't go into a healthcare provider's office to get tested, or they do get tested at their healthcare provider's office and it's a rapid office test, and that never gets reported to us. So the total number is really looking at trends, not absolute numbers of people who are infected in our community. And the CDC uses those data to make estimates. However, you know, they don't use just the number of reports they've received to make those estimates. And so, fortunately, it appears that we're in New York State and in Erie County, we're on the downward trend. So the bent the curve, and our numbers are decreasing. We're hoping that trend persists. Unfortunately, in Erie County, we have had one pediatric death so far, and in New York State, I believe they've had six pediatric deaths. In terms of flu-related deaths, only pediatric flu-related deaths are counted on surveillance. So those are the absolute numbers that we have.
Does coronavirus give you, I guess, more concern? I know you're doing all the preparations that you can for it, but you know, we've heard in the past SARS, West Nile, bird flu, swine flu, you name it. You know, it's been talked about before. Coronavirus, people would look at that and say, hey, this is just like the other stuff. I'm not too concerned. Is there, I guess, a different perception that you think people should have with this virus?
Well, with just in terms of, you know, SARS and MERS, I mean, we haven't had cases here. So that was a thing that we were able to read about, not be concerned about. Just like right now, COVID-19 is the thing we can just read about. We don't have to be concerned about it now here in our community. However, we believe that that's not going to be true forever, and that's, you know, sometime in the near future, we will have COVID-19 in our community, and we will have to worry about it, and we may have to take extreme measures to protect ourselves until this, you know, pandemic blows through. So and then hopefully, like similar to influenza, there will be a vaccine available and there will be antivirals available, so we can do more than just non-pharmaceutical interventions.
Doc, what are some of the reasons that you do think we will see a case sooner or later here? And I wouldn't expect you can tell me a potential date, but I mean, what
don't
are
know the date.
Like, you know, within weeks, months, what?
So first of all, the reason that we believe that this community transmission will eventually occur of COVID-19 is because we already have our first suspected case of in the United States, in California, of suspected community transmission of COVID-19. There was an individual who was identified as having the infection, no travel history, no close contact history. We got it somewhere. We have no idea. It's obviously circulating somewhere in that community. We also know that this is really now a global problem. I mean, it's not just limited to China. It's widespread in Southeast Asia. It's widespread in Iran. It's seeing it in like rural areas of Italy. So there's no reason. And so, I mean, people are still traveling in and out of the United States from those countries. So there's no reason to think that we can keep it out forever. So we really believe that it will eventually come here. And we actually don't have any information that would support that it will not come here. I mean, all the information we have supports that it will eventually come here. I hope it's going to take a while, but we have no idea how long it will take.
Can you talk about the international travel? Roswell put out an internal message to their staff, volunteers, folks there, not to travel internationally, and that anyone that may have, and that is in a country where there's an outbreak, to be monitored. What can you tell the community about that? Because there's so much international travel in our Buffalo region alone.
Right. So, you know, again, looking at the CDC's website, looking at for travel alerts, you know, looking at also the, you know, WHO's website for where cases have been identified globally, and I believe CDC also has that information. And then, you know, people have to make decisions themselves. They have to look at the risks and the benefits of travel, and then make that decision of, you know, what they're going to do, and then just also, you know, be prepared for return, you know, possibly being required to get quarantine, and, you know, possibly being exposed to a virus where we have no vaccine and to prevent it, and no treatment. But, you know, again, it's, I mean, people, you know, are always deciding about, you know, engaging in activities, looking at the risks and benefits, and then they have to decide if that's something that they want to do based on that information. So, I mean, but it, because of this global, you know, potential global pandemic, and really think that people should think twice about maybe, you know, postponing their travel. But, you know, it's really up to the individual. We know that there are certain people that are more at risk of becoming very ill with COVID-19. Remember, there's a huge spectrum of presentation. There are some people that have no symptoms or minimal symptoms, and there are some people who can fall very, very ill, require hospitalization, ventilation, and even die. And so the people who are more at risk of becoming very ill are, you know, people who are, we're seeing in the seniors, you know, more the elderly, people who have other chronic health conditions that, like, you know, chronic lung disease or heart disease or, you know, diabetes or any type of immunocompromising condition, and smokers. Smoking is a big risk factor for illness with in this virus. For some reason, we're not seeing severe infection, like severe disease in young children, so that's different than the flu. We don't really know why, but that's, you know, a young, healthy children don't seem to become ill, you know, symptomatically with the COVID-19. But that's what we know right now, and then, you know, people have to make their decisions based on the information that they have.
If there were to be a potential quarantine, what's the best way for households, families to set up their house and have, what would you want to have?
Well, I would like to, you know, the right now the quarantine timeline is 14 days. So thinking about what people would need to be sustainable for 14 days. And then it also depends on kind of where we are on, you know, community intervention. So right now, you know, you could always, like, order out food. There are people still delivering, and, they, you know, they can deliver to outside your house, and you can use a credit card or, you know, some type of electronic payment. You can, you know, get, well, even order food from the supermarket. That may not always be true, and so because the workforce may decline, where there might be not be people available to do these deliveries. So again, you know, stocking up, making sure you have enough, you know, food that, you know, just to keep you, might not be all your faves, but enough food to you know, keep you and your family healthy for, you know, at least a week, if it, you know, if it comes to that.
Here,
so New York State's getting $40 million.
You'll have to ask the state.
It was just announced yesterday by the governor that he was putting it, but we have no plan. And I also don't know if it's actually included in the current budget year, which expires as of the end of this month, or if he's talking about adding it in to the next budget year, the 2020-2021 budget, which technically starts on April 1st, if they get a budget done. But it was announced by the governor, but there's no dollars that we've received or any expectation in the near future. Any other questions on topic? If not, any questions on winter storm?
Actually, I have an off-topic question, but it's not related to the storm. Can you tell us where things stand as far as people getting refund checks for the overpayment of property taxes?
I can't answer that question off the top of my head, but we'll get you the information. I want to give you the accurate information. I know that payments have been received. Most of the payments that people make would go directly to the towns, and then the towns would tell us who paid, and then afterwards we determine what the reimbursement is. But we'll get that from the Department of Real Property Taxation. I can't give you that off the top of my head. I haven't been dealing with snowstorm and COVID-19 the last 48 hours, so I'm not totally up to speed on that.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.